Good afternoon. It's 5:06 and 44 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers. Some school districts are offering vaccine incentives. AAA expects more than 50 million Americans to travel during Thanksgiving. The University of Kentucky is penalizing employees and students for violating COVID policies. Local religious groups are hoping to help foster kids. A sports complex may be coming to Boyd County. In sports, it's regular season home opener for Moorhead's men's basketball tonight. A 10% chance of rain this evening, otherwise mostly cloudy skies with a low around 35. We'll have a look at your region's extended weather forecast after this news. Some school districts are offering incentives to encourage parents and students to get vaccinated against COVID-19. Many schools have COVID-19 money to spend on rewards like gift cards, amusement park tickets, and scholarships. Economics professor Iwan Baronke tells LEX18 the motivation to gather safely with relatives for the holidays will lead more families to get vaccinated.
So I think when children now say, oh, I really want to go to Thanksgiving, and the parents say, oh, Thanksgiving is always a disaster because of conversations around the table and whatnot. But if the children say, I really want to go and I want to see my cousins or my grandparents.
Studies have already shown that cash incentives have boosted vaccine rates, and Baronke hopes the momentum continues. AAA predicts 53.4 million Americans will travel over the Thanksgiving holiday weekend, which is close to pre-pandemic levels and 13% higher than last year. Driving will be the preferred method of transportation for most travelers at about 90%. Traveler Catherine Gardner tells LEX18 as a COVID survivor, it's good for her to be able to travel early and see family.
I almost died in July. So it's very heart-touching to be able to see my family after such a dramatic change in my life.
Air travel is expected to increase by 80% compared to 2020, with AAA estimating 4.2 million people choosing to fly. The University of Kentucky is disciplining students and employees for not following COVID-19 policies. WMKY's Alyssa White has the story.
University of Kentucky administrators are responding to dozens of students and employees who are violating the university's coronavirus testing protocols. The policy requires weekly testing for those not vaccinated, but statistics released by UK show not everyone has been following those rules. A UK spokesperson tells WKYT that 146 students and 24 employees have not cooperated all semester long and are now facing disciplinary action. The employees have been placed on unpaid leave while the students are not allowed to register for spring classes or attend certain campus events. Their dorm access and food swipes were also temporarily turned off. No students have been suspended, but those at the highest level of non-compliance are being threatened with suspension when the spring semester starts. The number of non-compliant students and employees have dropped significantly since the end of September. For WMKY News, I'm Melissa White.
Bashford Manor Baptist Church and Calvary Christian Center paired up with a national organization called Focus on the Family to give foster children in Kentucky a feeling of security. Many children in foster care move from home to home and do not have a suitcase. Natalie Whitcomb has three foster children and tells Wave 3 News she had encounters with kids who only had a trash bag to carry their belongings.
We've had children come to our home with just like a plastic bag, literally. Like that's all they had was a plastic grocery bag, and there was like a sippy cup in there and one sandal.
Focus on the Family is providing 300 new suitcases to foster families in Kentucky, where there are nearly 10,000 foster children. The Supershine Car Wash in Winchester started a fundraiser to honor veterans months ago and ended last week on Veterans Day. Bobby and Jocelyn Stanfield are the owners of the car wash. They wanted to raise money and add markers on veteran headstones, since installing them can cost around $300. Bobby Stanfield tells WKYT the project is personal for his family.
So my father and grandfather served in World War II. I discovered several other veterans that have not been installed.
The Stanfields raised enough money to supply 41 graves with markers on Veterans Day. We'll have a look at more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from David Barber, a licensed realtor with the C. Roger Lewis Agency at 129 East Main Street in Moorhead. Selling real estate locally since 1997, David Barber has taught real estate courses at Moorhead State University for more than 20 years and securing loans for small business owners. Buying or selling a home, farm, or business, Realtor David Barber can be reached at 606-207-7877 at the C. Roger Lewis Agency in Moorhead. That's 606-207-7877.
The Boyd County Fiscal Court approved a feasibility study of a sports complex in the county's portion of the Camp Landing Entertainment District project. WMKY's Ethan Jenkins has more.
The study will be conducted by the Huddle Group, an Arizona-based consulting firm that studies the economic impact and viability of sports complexes and arenas across the nation. According to the Daily Independent, Boyd County Economic Development Director Hunter Boyd said the study should be complete within 45 to 60 days. The firm will analyze the Sports Tourism Index for the area, meaning the type of sports that are played, how many people play them, and what the market looks like in terms of competition from neighboring areas. They will also look at the facility plans to see what sports it can accommodate, analyzing factors such as the size, whether it's indoor or outdoor, and if it's multipurpose. The court approved a $300,000 release of bond money to go towards paving at the county-owned portions of the entertainment district. For WMKY News, I'm Ethan Jenkins.
A new law went into effect this summer that intends to make it easier to get rid of problem law enforcement officers. Senate Bill 80 took effect in June, and it gives the Kentucky Law Enforcement Council more power to decertify bad police officers and inform law enforcement agencies of potential new hires' previous issues. In addition, the bill adds grounds for removing certification to the existing statute and gave the council subpoena power. It also allows police agencies to offer conditional employment to new hires. Georgetown Police Chief Mike Bossy tells LEX 18 SB 80 is a great tool for law enforcement agencies.
Frankly, it makes it more transparent. When an officer gets in trouble, other agencies can find, there's an avenue for other agencies to find out about that issue. When you give a group of people the kind of authority that you give police officers, we have got to be humble enough to answer the difficult questions.
Since June, two officers have been recommended for decertification by KLEC. Eight more officers' cases are set for decertification revision this month, and six are pending investigation. The Drug Enforcement Administration is warning of counterfeit pills laced with fentanyl, which they say is the driving force behind 2,000 overdose deaths from drugs in Kentucky in 2020. Many people taking what they believe to be Xanax or Percocet likely don't know the danger mixed in with their pill, and the DEA says just 2 milligrams of fentanyl can be lethal. Ashland mother Missy Salyer's son died of a fentanyl overdose in July. She tells WKYT she believes her son had no idea the substance was mixed in with what he took, likely trying to find relief for migraines.
He died immediately. He had just thrown his sheets in the washer to wash them and went back to lay on his bed and had his cell phone in his hand and actually texted the person who he had bought this from and said, "What did you give me? Something doesn't feel right." And that was the last text that anybody got from him.
Salyer says it's difficult to talk about how she lost her son, but she hopes by raising awareness, it can save another family from facing a similar tragedy. Taking a look at your region's extended weather forecast for tomorrow, sunny skies with a high near 61. Tuesday night, partly cloudy, a low around 50 degrees. Wednesday, mostly sunny skies, a high near 70. Wednesday night, showers likely, mainly in the early morning hours. Otherwise, mostly cloudy skies with a low around 43. Chance of precipitation is 60%. And for your Thursday, showers throughout the day with a high near 58 degrees. On our feature segment today, Morehead State University's athletic director discusses the NIL law and what it means for student athletes. WMKY's Sarah Mead has more.
In July, Governor Andy Beshear enacted a name, image, likeness law in Kentucky for colleges and institutions. Through the law, NCAA athletes will be able to earn compensation for the use of their name, image, or likeness through a multitude of different opportunities. MSU Athletic Director Dr. Jamie Gordon says it's a win-win between campus and athletics because it allows students to work in real-life business scenarios and it gives athletes the support needed to do so.
It allows these young adults to follow through on entrepreneurship opportunities, and whether it be something that's somewhat associated with their sport or something totally independent. I think that's where we start to really see some opportunities grow for our student athletes. You know, we have some athletes that are recording artists that now can utilize their own brand to have some financial benefit from it.
Gordon says every college athlete, regardless of popularity or accolades, has the opportunity to take advantage of the law in some way.
You know, obviously, as with anything, you're going to have on a national scale different people that are provided or may have a different brand value than others, but the opportunity is there. You know, also, if somebody wants to do some camps and clinics or private lessons because they have this skill set that, again, they can monetize, now they have that ability to do it.
Gordon encourages caution before accepting any deals, and in the absence of state guidelines, colleges should be able to provide insights into proper NIL deals.
Even as this has transitioned and grown, you have state laws and regulations, and you have some states that don't have any laws or regulations on the books, but it really falls down on the institution to say, how's each school going to manage it? Have had discussion with administration, with coaches, with legal counsel, just to make sure that, you know, we're being protective of the interests of the institution as well as our students.
Gordon says as an institution, this is a way to innovate and empower athletes.
We look at things specifically around a student athlete's sport. You know, for example, our men's basketball team had a lot of success last year. We had a player who was freshman of the year in the conference. There might be some sort of promotion that a company would want to do to try and bring in traffic, and may have a autograph signing where this person is helping promote a local business.
It also gives students the tools to think beyond clicks on social media and into the world of business and entrepreneurship.
At the end of the day, we all need to recognize, as an athletics department or any part of the university, we're an institution of higher learning, and our job is to help educate our students. And so this now becomes a vehicle that we can do that.
For WMKY News, I'm Sarah Mead reporting.
Support for MSPR provided by Downtown Morehead Incorporated and the Kentucky Folk Arts Center, presenting the 35th Annual Appalachian Holiday Arts and Crafts Fair, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Saturday, December 4th. Open to the public inside the Laughlin Health Building on East Main Street in Morehead. Handmade arts and crafts, home decor, and decorations. More information on Facebook under Downtown Morehead.
It's 44 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Shamari Mosley and Jonathan Burton, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. Keneally Roberts has a look at sports coming up, but first, I want to say thank you. We're so glad you can spend time with us on this chilly Monday afternoon.
The Morehead State men's basketball team is all set for their regular season home opener this evening. For WMKY Sports, I'm Keneally Roberts. Coming off a tough season opening road trip, Morehead State men's basketball is excited to finally showcase the squad in a regular season game in front of friendly fans. MSU dropped games at Auburn and UAB to open the year. Kentucky Christian University, which will treat tonight's game as an exhibition, is 1-4 with a 7-point loss to Point on Saturday. Eagle leader Preston Spradlin says his guys are all set to take on the Knights this evening.
Yeah, you know, everybody's excited, obviously, to play on a Monday night, get some students out here, and, you know, got some new looks here in Johnson Arena for fans to get an opportunity to come and enhance their game experience. And guys are doing well, healthy, ready to go, excited and ready to get on track, and looking forward to playing a good KCU team here tonight.
Morehead State and KCU will tip off at Johnson Arena tonight at 7 o'clock. Morehead State University women's basketball team is still a few days out from their regular season home opener. The Eagles won't play at home until Sunday when they host Midway, and they're set to play Marshall between now and then. There's still a lot of groundwork being laid for the young team under the leadership of Kayla Petrie. Part of that work, she says, is moving forward with their difficult non-conference schedule.
I think that playing the best, irregardless of the score, that's going to be something positive for our team. Teams are going to look and be like, why are they playing them? Like, that's going to make us grow. That's going to get us better for OVC play. We're just happy to play. But the big thing of that is the experience for our players.
MSU will next head to Huntington to face the Thundering Herd on Friday. Tip-off in that game is set for 6 o'clock. The Morehead State University cross-country teams wrapped up their season over the weekend. WMKY's Tanner Boyd reports.
The team ended things on a high note at the Southeastern Regionals by bettering its last regional performance with a 25th place finish Friday. The Eagle women finished 30th with 867 points in their 6K race. Sophomores Jarrett Forrest and Isabella Kofer paced their respective squads. The Morehead State men compiled 743 points in the 10K event, just 11 behind 24th place Murray State and 16 back of 23rd place USC Upstate. The Eagles topped in-state foe Northern Kentucky, which tallied 856 points to place 28th. Overall, 30 complete teams with 228 total runners competed at the event. The NCAA championship takes place on November 20th at the Appalachian Regional Park in Tallahassee, Florida. 31 teams and 38 additional runners will qualify for the two national meets. The top two squads at the regionals will earn automatic bids for the NCAAs. Morehead State will next be in action when it opens the indoor track and field season on December 2nd at Marshall. For WMKY Sports, I'm Tanner Boyd.
Senior wide receiver B.J. Byrd made his and more than 20 other seniors' final home game a most memorable one on Saturday. Byrd set four program single season or single game records and hauled in the game-winning touchdown with 20 seconds left as the Morehead State football team rallied in the fourth quarter to hand Stetson a 36-35 defeat at Jane Stadium. It was a great day for his Eagles all around, but head coach Rob Tenier says it was a great home send-off for a team he is proud to be a part of.
I've enjoyed coaching this team more in the spring and the fall than any team in a long time. And I'll be honest with you, they have changed our culture. They have changed our identity on this campus, in our community, and more importantly, in FCS football and the Pioneer Football League.
MSU finishes off the 2021 season at Valparaiso this Saturday. The Eagles and Beacons kick off at 2 p.m. in Indiana. And finally in sports this afternoon, Morehead State volleyball came up short again in the regular season finale at Southeast Missouri on Saturday. The Red Hawks got past the Eagles 3-0. MSU will be the number 2 seed for this week's OVC tournament, which will also be held at SEMO. SEMO scored the final 2 points to win set 1, 25-23, and then won 25-15 and 25-18 to seal its victory. Associate head coach Kirsten Becker-McBride says she knew the Red Hawks were coming in hot.
We ended the regular season as co-champions with SEMO, and this past weekend we played at SEMO. Ended up dropping both matches to them. They played incredibly well. They had a lot to fight for. The only way that they got a share of the championship was by beating us twice. And they did that, but we will likely have another shot at them this upcoming weekend.
Morehead State will play Belmont in the opening round of the Ohio Valley Conference Tournament on Thursday. That game will get underway at 1:30. And that's going to do it for sports this afternoon. For WMKY, I'm Keneally Roberts.
Bud Luke has a look at the stock report right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Sawstone Brewing Company on East Main Street in downtown Morehead. Sawstone Brewing Company has locally crafted flagship and seasonal beers, ales, and lagers. Inside or outside seating follows CDC guidelines. Open Monday through Thursday, 2 to 10 p.m., Friday and Saturday, noon to midnight, and Sunday, noon to 8 p.m. Outdoor patio, indoor game, and meeting space available. Locally owned and operated, the Sawstone Brewing Company is online, Facebook, and Instagram.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. U.S. equities were flat as U.S. Treasury yields reversed and climbed higher, and investors awaited quarterly reports from big retailers later in the week. And at the close, the major indices all were down less than 0.1%. The Dow Industrials finishing at 36,087.45. The S&P 500 was 4,682.80. And the NASDAQ Composite wound up the day at 15,853.85, and as mentioned, all three of the major averages down less than 0.1%, so a very flat market. And the rise in Treasury yields did affect certain growth stocks, and in particular Tesla, whose shares fell more than 1% and continued their decline from late last week when the CEO Elon Musk sold nearly $7 billion worth of the stock. And of course, Tesla ended last week down 15.4%. Also, tech darling NVIDIA lost 2% as investors pull back their positions ahead of the company's quarterly results this week. Some have said the chipmaker is overextended on a relative strength basis, and last week Wedbush Securities downgraded the stock to neutral. Investors' main focus was on upcoming quarterly earnings reports from several major retailers this week. Target gained 2% while Lowe's lost more than 1%, and both will report on Wednesday. Shares of Walmart and Home Depot, both reporting tomorrow, were also under pressure. Shares of Dollar Tree jumped 13% following a report Friday that activist investor Mantle Ridge has taken a stake worth at least $1.8 billion in the discount store chain and will push it to do more to add to shareholder value. And Boeing rose more than 5% following news that Saudi Arabian Airlines is in talks with Airbus and Boeing for a wide-body jet order. At the same time, Emirates announced an order for two Boeing 777 freighters at the 2021 Dubai Air Show. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was App Harvest down 68 cents at 582, CSX down 4 cents at 35.19, Marathon Petroleum up 32 cents at 66.12, PPL Energy up 24 cents at 28.84, Kroger up 23 cents at 42.66, and Community Trust Bank was down 33 cents to finish at 44.77. Reporting from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird, this is Bud Luke.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Tanner Boyd, Paul Hitchcock, Greg Jenkins, Alyssa White, Devin Bartley, Keneally Roberts, Ethan Jenkins, Cassidy Stearman, and Jonathan Burton. Our feature segment this afternoon was from WMKY's own Sarah Mead. A special thanks to the Robert Baird Company's Bud Luke. Our theme music is composed and performed by Allison Brown. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY, Morehead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Shamari Mosley and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers. For WMKY News, All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5:30.